Today's Mass is being offered for the health and well-being of our dear sister Geraldine Brussel, who just received her last rites an hour ago. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we do ask that you pray for Geraldine. She's at the hospital. It doesn't mean that she's going to pass right now. God can definitely work through that. He certainly does create great healings through the ministrations of doctors and nurses and through his own divine power through this gift of unction, which he's given as a sacrament of healing within the church. But please pray for them. And as well, if you know Elisa, today is also her birthday. So wish her well as she's in great turmoil over her mother. Now, within the readings which we have, within the feast that we celebrate today, there's a lot of coincidence of divine providence that is revealed for us in all these great things. Something for Father Gruber, who is here with us. Remember, tonight he will be celebrating a beautiful traditional Latin Mass in honor of St. Thomas, and he has beautiful, gorgeous banners that will be there. It'll be a sung Mass. So if you can make it to PDL at 6:30, we'll have it there. Also, if you'd like another opportunity to hear what you heard last night, but version 2.0 or maybe 3.0 by the time we get there, he'll do enough reversions and revisions in that to make it all the more greater for Fort Sumner. 5:30 p.m., he'll give you that there as well as an opportunity to go to confession. And there afterwards, all Father Gruber, all the time, for the Blessed Lord Jesus, for all those beautiful Masses that we'll be having there in Fort Sumner. And next week, if you want to know more about how you can live out the mysteries of the joyful mysteries of the Rosary to be more Marian, go and check it out. 5:30 every night there in Fort Sumner in the church. Now, one thing for Father Gruber's enjoyment is that the beginning of this reading starts out in Latin that Our Lady went in haste to the hill country, Abiamos in Montana. And that's a place where we often go to Montana in order to get together as a group of priests to be able to do great things, which we hope to do this upcoming year. But Abiamos in Montana. That is, Our Lady makes haste to go to the hill country as soon as she received that beautiful announcement of the angel, which Father proclaimed for us and preached beautifully upon last night. Now, Our Lady, in what is the thing which motivates her, which drives her into the hill country? Is it that she just really has an itch to get out of town so nobody else will hear the story and she's afraid she's going to blurt it out, like some of us do sometimes when we have good news? Sequester ourselves, leave town, so that we don't just scream forth things that maybe should be held more deeply and treasured within the soul? Our Lady here, nothing of the sort. What is the great motivation of Our Lady here is what St. Paul would preach upon and proclaim within Corinthians, I believe it's Corinthians, where he'd speak forth and say, one of my favorite phrases from his Gospels is to say, Caritas Christi urgit nos, which is to say, the charity of Christ urges us, compels us, drives us on forward. And so it is with Our Lady being filled with the Holy Ghost, being overshadowed in that moment, having conceived such beautiful mysteries in silence there, just by allowing her to be as the handmaiden and to accept Christ here into her, trusting that whatever God desires, that it's going to work out beautifully. It is that charity which is planted in our soul, which is God's own essence, his very self, drives her onward. And that's what drives her beyond everything. She sees that her who was barren, her dear cousin, very, very ancient, as some of the translations of the scripture say, use that word ancient. She's among the ancient ones, very advanced in age, is what it says in Latin there, or rather in Spanish, it says, of advanced age. She herself is going through all sorts of difficulties. You know how it is when you have given birth of yourself. You know how it is when your family members are. You know how it is that you are all the more solicitous because you've gone through it all and been with them there. Well, how you rush to their need. What about now a woman who is well, well, well past the age where this should even be possible? And all her thing on her heart is, what can I do for her? How can I make her life easier? What is it that's going on? She is compelled by pure, perfect, unadulterated charity, the essence of God himself, who is indwelling in her very substantially to go and do this great thing. We see that as well within the reading for the Song of Songs, which is one of the passages from the scriptures, second chapter there, which is one of the most commentated on scripture passages in the whole of the sacred scriptures, the mystics, those who are in love with God, filled with him and his divine wisdom, comment upon the Song of Songs more than they do on any other part of the scriptures, with the exclusion of with the gospels themselves. There, within this passage of the Song of Songs, a soul's journey with God in mystical union. It says, hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or like a young stag. That's what God does. God, when he sees a need, when he sees the beauty of his beloved, what does he do? He does not delay in coming to rescue his people. He does not delay in sharing forth the goodness of him. He doesn't delay in offering help and aid, because he is charity itself, moved beyond himself to go and be himself and to share what he is with all those who he encounter. He leaps like a stag across the mountains, leaping over the hills, because he wants, as it says later on, arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, come out, that I may come into you. Those are beautiful things. Beautiful things of the soul in intimacy with God, which you and I can benefit from recognizing at moments that we are God's beloved one, that here it is, he comes leaping across the hills to come and to find us. Whatever slumber, whatever sleeping, whatever ignorance we have of his presence there, he wishes to rouse us from that to see what his actual thoughts are toward us, what his concern is for us, how he desires to lead us beyond ourselves into what he indeed has in store for us, which is beyond our asking or even imagining. So Our Lady, full of the Holy Ghost, conceived, the second person of the Trinity, inside her virginal womb, that perfect fiat, saying, I am but the handmaiden, so this is all I could ever do. It is the statement of my being. So she goes forth and does what? Does charity. Now, St. John Cantius, the saint who we celebrate today, one of these great men of the church, he was a great teacher. And in his gift of teaching, he expounded so many beautiful things about the nature of God. And that's why we commemorate him today as such a great liver out of charity, and as well as one who is an expounder of sacred mysteries. He wrote a catechism. A little small catechism that people could take with themselves to be able to understand the faith all the greater. He wanted people to be able to, from no matter how great they were, how much studies they had, he wanted the smallest ones, particularly children and the simple, to be able to understand the deep things of God. So he broke them down to understandable tidbits in his catechism to be able to digest. I'll give you one line from it, one little small question that he asks and then answers in simplicity. It's on charity. He defines what charity is, the moving out of oneself for the good of another person. He talks about the precepts, which you know which they are, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, as our Lord has given us there in that twofold commandment of the Lord, and that the love, charity rather, desires to move beyond itself. But he asks this question. He says, how is charity towards one neighbor, uncovered and recognized? Charity, how is it seen by the world, so it's not a hidden mystery, but something that's actually lived out in neighbors? He asks this question and answers it in this way. He says, charity is patience. Charity is kindness. Charity does not boast. It does not act incorrectly. It is not puffed up in its own self. It is not ambitious. It does not seek those things which are its own. It is not angry. It thinks of no evil toward any other person. It does not rejoice over iniquity, but rather it rejoices in the truth. It suffers all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It sustains all things. Have you heard that before? But you've not read the catechism of St. Peter Canisius, did you? You've read it in Scripture. Because all he does in saying, how is love lived out, how is charity lived out toward one's neighbor and uncovered so that the world can actually recognize it? He says, go to St. Paul, Corinthians 1, chapter 13. That tells you what love looks like. It's all those things. And so if you and I wish to be more and more Marian, wish to be more and more like the patroness of the season, wish to be filled more and more with the Holy Ghost, to recognize that, yes, our lover is God himself leaping over the mountains, making haste to come and to rescue you and me in the various difficulties that we find ourselves in, that he is this one calling us to arise and to welcome him so that he might come into us, as is the hope during this season of the Nativity. That's what Christmas is all about. And when charity inhabits us, this is the way we need to act toward others. It's a challenge, but it's something that's absolutely possible, because he who is charity wishes to live in you. And if you wish he who is in charity to live in you all the more, you've come to the right place. Here at Mass, he who is in charity presents himself in the Eucharist. If you prepared yourself through a worthy confession, boy, is he going to make a feast in your soul. It's asking for that grace, that through this meditation on charity and seeing it lived out in countless ways through our lives, and especially in the readings of the feast which we celebrate today, that charity may make a hallowed home within our soul, and we receive that rejoicing of leaping, where he quickly makes haste, where Mary quickly makes haste, that Christ may be in your soul and mine, so too, in like manner as he was in hers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.